Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Bond, as in James Bond fans, are finally going to be able to go and get a look at one of the most delayed films ever. No Time to Die is what it's called. Daniel Craig's last outing, supposedly, as 007, and the hype has reached new levels. But it's going to live up to the fever, is it? That's the question I should really be asking. So what's next for Bond when Daniel Craig hangs up his tuxedo? That's another question I want to ask. Brian Lloyd of Entertainment.ie knows all things Bond. And we're going to take a look at the, first of all, Craig Bond legacy, but then, you know, the future. What is it? So, Brian, welcome to the programme. First of all, what can we expect from the movie itself? I presume nobody's seen it, no?
No, nobody's seen it. In fact, I've actually held back all press screenings of it until Tuesday evening when the world premiere is happening. Yeah. So, yeah, so I haven't seen it. I don't know when I'm going to get to see it because I can't get to the Tuesday evening screening. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be set after Spectre, obviously, and it sees Bond retired from MI6. He's trying to live a normal life in Jamaica, which kind of seems a contradiction in terms of leading a normal life in Jamaica, but whatever. But, yeah, he's with his girlfriend Madeleine Swann, played by Lea Seydoux. That's all seems normal until Felix Leiter, who is the CIA agent that's turned up in all the books, reaches out for help, and then he gets sucked back into the international spy life. He then has to reunite with Moneypenny and Q, and then M, and then there's this new character called Nomi, who's played by Lashana Lynch. And the rumor that's been going around is that she is the new 007, as in, because obviously Bond is retired, so now she took over his designation 007. But I mean, that's not confirmed, that's rumors and a good guess. But yeah, so sure enough, anyway, a villain comes into the place. His name is Safin. He's played by Rami Malek, and we think that he has some sort of new technological terror that he's going to release on the world, and Bond has to stop it. So it seems, I mean, like, the thing about Bond is that, like, it's formulaic. I mean, every single film follows the exact same thing over and over again. There are very, very few deviations. I mean, going from Connery to Roger Moore to George Lazenby for that one, to Timothy Dalton to Pierce Brosnan to now, you know what you're getting. You know, that sort of way. Like, it's not really going to deviate. I mean, okay, fine, they brought in, you know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who people will know from Fleabag. They brought in Scott Z. Burns. The original writers, Neil Purvis and Robert Wade, are all there. But, I mean, it's Bond is kind of, there's actually an article about it in the Irish Times that Donald Clark wrote it, and he basically kind of posits that the reason why Bond has kind of managed to stay relevant or stay in fashion is because Bond, the character, has always been out of fashion, and that even goes all the way back to Connery, you know.
So never thought of it that way. Yeah, I mean, like, there's so much being written and so much going on. I mean, but the last movie, the amount of publicity with Skyfall or whatever the last one was, it's just astonishing.
Spectre,
yeah. And, like, you know, and it worked because it was the biggest, most successful movie at the British box office ever up to that point or whatever. And, like, so it works. And the same with this here. The publicity is kind of taking care of itself, there's so much, because it's the movie to save cinema and all that kind of thing. But let's look at Bond itself. Can Bond be saved? Are you saying that the next Bond is going to be, or the next 007 is going to be, and maybe there's a difference, a woman?
No, I'm not saying that at all. No, it's just in this, I mean, again, I haven't seen the film, but I've been reading rumors, you know. Like, I mean, there's one thing Bond movies have always been good for is there is a lot of rumors always circulating, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, the fact that it's a British production company and stuff like that, like, they kind of have a bit of a, there's a sort of a more clearer line to the press, if you know that sort of way. So kind of rumors and production rumors kind of get out a bit quicker. But the rumor going around is that Lashana Lynch's character will be will be 007. She's not going to be the new Bond, but she will be the new 007 in this. But they're not going to make a female Bond.
Then let's look at the definitive version, if there's such a thing. Let's look at Daniel Craig's time as Bond. And are we talking the definitive version if we talk Daniel Craig?
This is it. Like, I think it's one thing I would say about Bond is that as a character, he always seems to kind of reflect the age that he lives in, even though he does seem to be sort of out of fashion with it. You know, like, Daniel Craig's portrayal of Bond was much more harder. Like, you go back and you look at Casino Royale, the opening scene is all done in black and white, and it's his character literally drowning a man in a toilet and then shooting a guy point blank in the face. And, you know, the script for Casino Royale really did kind of try to touch on the sort of post 9/11 world, the idea of, you know, sort of the loyalties and the sort of, I suppose, Western kind of power struggles that were going on. Like, even in Quantum of Solace, for example, the CIA were kind of, I mean, they weren't villains, but I mean, there was a definite sort of thing of, like, they were trying to get oil. The CIA were more than happy to kind of do business with the baddie in the film.
Yeah.
It was played by Mats Almerich. It was this French actor. So then you go look at, like, Timothy Dalton, for example. I mean, that was kind of towards the tail end of the Cold War. But what the big thing in America was, for American audiences, was South America. And, you know, all these, like, you know, the Colombian cartels and all that. And License to Kill was all about a Colombian cartel. Roger Moore, I mean, you know, Roger Moore was always a bit more comedic and a bit more kind of silly. But going back to Sean Connery, for example, like, From Russia With Love was all about him trying to get this, like, decoding device out of Russia. So that kind of played into the sort of Cold War sensibilities. And then, I mean, that's just in a sort of a broader kind of political sense. But then in terms of, like, the actual character of Bond, like, in Daniel Craig's Bond, I feel that he's definitely a lot more sort of psychologically driven. Like, they really try to get into the fact that he is this, like, kind of cold-blooded killer, and that he doesn't really care about people, and that he's almost kind of a sociopath.
Yeah.
And they do try to deconstruct that a little bit. And I think that helps it because, you know, no one in this day and age is going to look at Bond and think that he is going to be, quote, woke. That's never going to happen. So if he's not going to be that, well, then what's he going to be? What is he? And he's kind of, I mean, in fairness to Craig, I think he's played him very, very well because, you know, he's not funny. He's not Roger Moore. You know, he's not going to do the cheese, but he does have this physical presence. Like, you see him on, like, Graham Norton or any of these shows or on The Late Late. Like, he is built like a feckin' tank. Yeah. So he can use his physical presence.
Can I just say, built like a tank? But the last two movies, I can't remember which one, anyway, with one of them, I interviewed him in London and walked down a corridor with him. And he's like, he's not necessarily built like a tank. First of all, he's not that tall.
You don't think?
No, he's not that tall. But the really weird bit is, and this is it's the way he walks.
Yeah.
Do you know the way some people kind of walk in a straight line, say from Cork straight up to the north of Ireland, right? Okay. He's kind of more Donegal to Wexford with one foot and kind of Belfast to Kerry with the other. It's a bit penguin-y. It's splayed feet, kind of penguin-y stuff. And then when he sat down, he was delighted to sit down and make them straight. Anyway, can I just say, right in the middle of all this, because I might as well, that last century, I interviewed Daniel Craig. I'm going to give you 40 seconds of this, which will mean nothing to you, by the way, but I'll just play it. In fact, it's up on at Fanning RT. You can see the pictures of it. But last century, on a beach in Achill. Are you ready for this?
Nice.
Here goes. So, the character you play in the movie, I mean, with the black hat and everything, are you a goodie or a baddie?
Well, I suppose I really should let you find out, but I start off as a goodie, and then it all goes a bit horribly wrong. So I become a fairly nasty baddie, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you read the book? Did you listen to the story beforehand? Did you know anything about this, or did you just say, what's my role?
No, I didn't. I didn't know it. You know, I didn't sort of know about the story, and I've tried to stay away from it, because there's so many versions of the story that I just, it sort of, we've got the script, that's the story we're doing, and we're going to stick to it because, you know, you walk into the local pub here and someone's got five or six stories to tell you about the same incident, and they all differ. Yeah. So I try and keep my ears blocked.
There he is from Love and Rage, by the way, was the name of the movie, and that's the book we're talking about there, which was like about 6 or 7 years before he became Bond. But there he is, like, he's a nice, friendly, good gent, and he's a lovely guy. But, like, one of the things about the movie, I mean, I'm sorry, about Bond, is, which you've just said, and that's why, like, he can be friendly as whatever, is that the dialogue between himself and Judi Dench in these movies, I mean, really, it just drove me mad after a while. Like, you know, what were you expecting? A bloody apology? If you avoid killing every lead, it'll definitely appreciate it. All this kind of stuff. It's like, can they not just sit down and go to a disco or have a cup of tea? Like, go on. It's all ridiculous conversation. And then I'm saying this because right in the middle of all these things, the Bourne Identity movies came along, and the Bourne movies, and it blew Bond out of the water in terms of the kind of excitement you really felt for the characters, the music, the editing, and all of this kind of stuff. And it just makes Bond a bit of a laugh. And also, I'm saying it because Roger Moore destroyed the whole thing. So what are we all on about? Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, You've hit on a couple of things there. Yeah, definitely. Like Casino Royale. No. It's a good point. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, Casino Royale was a response to the Bourne Identity. It was very much a reaction to it. Like, they tried to kind of, you know, no more gadgets, no more silliness. Bond is going to be this, you know, badass who's going to break through walls and kill people and be very sort of much more macho about it. Like, I wrote an article about this earlier in the week, and as I was writing it, I was like, yeah, I actually think Roger Moore is my favorite Bond because he's so... But, like, in fairness to Roger Moore, like, he was like, it's absolutely ridiculous. He's the world-famous spy. That's just a contradiction in terms. He goes into every bar in the world and they know his drink order. That means he's the worst spy in the world. And, Roger Moore, like, again, I have a lot of time for Roger Moore's portrayal of Bond because he was like, I'm not this cold-blooded killer. My acting range is left eyebrow raised, right eyebrow raised. That's it. And, you know, you go back and watch those films, like, and they're a lot of fun. Like, they're very, very tongue-in-cheek. They're
want my Bond to be lots of fun and tongue-in-cheek, and I want somebody who can act, and Roger Moore certainly can't act. Sure. Look, I'll tell you what, there's the thing in yesterday's paper, well, it's the thing in every paper, in the Financial Times, guy called Peter Aspton writing, and he says he's been a Bond fan all his life and he's really looking forward to this. He says, Bond films skirt around genres with teasing elegance, perfectly balancing the thrilling with the comic, only occasionally allowing genuine emotional intensity to intrude. That's one of my problems. There's no emotional intensity in the movies at all. And then he says, very British. At worst, think late Roger Moore, the jokes fall flat, the action is laboured, the battle between good and evil infantilised. And, like, you know, the whole thing is that when then your man comes along to change all this, I'm so delighted that he did. And by the way, I think Pierce Brosnan got a bad rap because I think he was actually very good. He got some terrible movies. That was his problem.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Die Another Day, for God's sake.
Yeah, come on. But you go back and look at, like, Tomorrow Never Dies or GoldenEye. Like, I mean, Pierce Brosnan, I think he did a great job of Bond. And you're absolutely right. He was given some absolute turkeys and had to try, you know, turn them into something watchable.
The world is not enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, Pierce Brosnan, as an actor, I think he was, I don't know if he was, like, I mean, okay, people remember him from Remington Steele or whatever. Like, he is one of those actors that just looks like he should be playing Bond. And to be fair, he did it very, very well. But Daniel Craig, like, I remember when he was first announced for it, like, there was uproar about it. It's like, oh, he can't be blonde and all this kind of crap. And, you know, there's been this sort of thing of, like, Craig has been referred to as the woke Bond. Now, I have such a problem with the word woke because I would love people to actually explain to me what that word means, because it seems to me that people just use it when they don't like something or that the word has just lost all meaning.
Oh, just go and ask Karen. She'll tell you. Okay, hold on a second. Yeah. Look, what you're saying is the movies are a lot slicker than they used to be, and they were a bit more camp and they used to be daft. Craig has probably sucked the crack out of Bond, but maybe that was the only route he could have taken.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there was nowhere else for it to go. I mean, literally in Die Another Day, there's an invisible Aston Martin. Like, it had shot over into the realms of sci-fi. So the only thing you can do in that instance is to pair everything back. And, like, we were talking earlier about Bourne Identity. Bourne Identity was very much, you know, a European art house minimalist thriller.
Yeah, can I just say too also about the baddies? You say Rami Malek is the new one. Every baddie in every movie was so baddie in their big lair and the whole thing blows up in the end and all the rest in Bond. But the baddie, your man with the satchel on his back, who's the actor's name I can't remember, who was chasing after Bourne, my God almighty, he was so well written, so well drawn, didn't say anything at all, and I was scared out of my mind. And it was I really engaged with a guy like that, absolutely ruthless on the bridge and all that stuff. Do you remember him?
This is in Bourne Identity, wasn't it?
In two Bournes, because he was in the Bourne then when he killed the girlfriend at the beginning of the second one.
Yes, that was Carl Urban.
Is that his name? Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, Carl Urban, yeah, he's an Australian actor. Yeah, but that idea of him being so kind of, you know, ruthless and
silent,
says
ruthless. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, and really good at what Bond, he does too, by the way.
Yeah, really good. And Bond never had that, you know, that sort of way. Like, always the thing with the villains in Bond is they have to have their monologue. They have to spell it out to the audience.
Yeah, but at least they're not stroking a cat anymore with a cigarette in a holder.
They are. wrong, actually. No, yeah, Inspector, yeah. And I'm giving this away now for anyone who hasn't seen Inspector. Yeah. But Christoph Waltz, who's a brilliant actor.
Yeah, but he was like, he was meant to be OTT, and he was OTT to the power of a million. He was ridiculous.
He was ridiculous, completely ridiculous. And I mean, to be fair, that's the closest that the Craig era Bond has ever gotten to that level of ridiculous. Do you know that sort of?
By the way, he wasn't even in the movie for about the first hour, really. He was hardly in it at all. So, like, the big one then, like, whatever about the woke Bond or whatever, do you think, Brian, what does the future look like for Bond post-Craig? I mean, can it survive in its current incarnation, or will it be something different altogether, or will this 60-year juggernaut just keep going?
I don't know, to be honest. Like, I mean, I know there was a big thing with, you know, which company, which studio rather was going to take on Bond after, I think it was Sony, I think lost the sort of license with it or whatever. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, it's kind of gone in every which way. They've done, you know, drama, they've done sci-fi, they've done thriller, they've almost done a kind of a horror thing in certain parts of it. They've explored every kind of genre, and I think they've kind of explored every iteration of Bond. So I think really the only place they can go with it now, if you like, is to go right back to the start. And I've always said I would love to see some kind of a period set Bond, as in something in the 50s or the 60s. That sort of way. It went kind of back to that. I think that would be kind of interesting. But I mean, you know...
You haven't seen Austin Powers then, have you?
Well, no, but like, see, okay, fine, not Austin Powers, but like something in like the 50s, kind of like almost like a John Le Carre thing, you know, that kind of like Tinker Tailor Soldier. Yeah. But of course, John Le Carre wrote Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy and all his stuff as a response to Ian Fleming, but that's a whole other thing.
What do you call it? Palmer. What do you call them? Like the Ipcress file and all these movies. Like,
Harry Palmer. Exactly.
Harry Palmer,
Billion Dollar Brain, I don't know. Like, I mean, to be honest, it is one of those things that, you know, films like Bond will always draw an audience. They always will.
With the superhero types just dominating the cinema, we're crying out for something like Bond, because I'm sick of those other yokes at all. I'll take a Bond any day of the week, you know. By the way, but like the last movie, by the way, with all due respect, Judi Dench, I'm glad she's dead. And by the way, if you think I'm giving away something in terms of her character in the movie, I'm not. You should know by now, the movie's old enough, you're allowed to say it. They're all looking at me saying, you can't give away the ending of the last one. Don't be ridiculous.
That film was out ages ago.
Exactly. She's gone, because is it Ray Fiennes now is going to be her gig? I mean, like, he'll just do his gig and get out of the way and then let James Bond do whatever. She was kind of too much of her, like, I think you're a sexist, misogynist dinosaur, a relic of the Cold War. And that was to Pierce Brosnan. Crying out, I'm sick of her.
Yeah, anyway. That's right. That was in GoldenEye, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm let's get back. Like, sorry, I'm ranting here. Where were we going back to? Something? Oh, yeah. The last one, I got mixed up with Spectre and Skyfall. Which was the one with, what do you call him, up in the Scotland, the house blows up at the end and all the rest of it, etc.
Javier Bardem, that was Skyfall.
Javier Bardem, exactly. Now that to me was Home Alone and not Pots of Paint or Marvin Harry. It was just lots of big explosions. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And to be fair, I loved it. I thought it was great. I really, really enjoyed Skyfall. Oh no, it was fantastic.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, but I tell you, it just shows you the two of us are going to be looking forward to the new Bond then, are we? Yeah, I am.
I hope it'll be good. But I mean, to be honest, I mean, the director that they got for this, Cary Fukunaga, he's really, really good. He did the first season of True Detective, which I thought was the best out of the three seasons of True Detective.
Yeah. And it was an awful lot of your man, Matthew McConaughey, looking and playing with his can of beer. Do you remember? He just spent the whole blinking time. Anyway, you know, it was good.
I loved it because it had a whole kind of Lovecraftian thing, and it was very kind of gone.
It was very gothic and they took themselves a bit too seriously. I think maybe if there wasn't six programs, it should have been three and it would have been great. Anyway, look, whatever. We can stay all day. Yeah. Brian, listen, you're looking forward to it and you'll see it. And thanks a million for talking to us. Fair play. Very entertaining stuff you're saying there. All right. Brian Lloyd of entertainment.ie. Thanks a million, Brian. Good man. Take it easy.
No worries.
Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.